fill out a little bit more of this. If you realize the idea of going down to Egypt for help is especially in chapters like 30 and 31, that really the whole thing goes all the way through the book of Isaiah. All the way through. At first, they'll go to the Assyrians for help, Assyrians from the north. Now they'll go to Egypt for help, Egypt Messiah. But it's that same thing. And this is the great book on salvation. And I tell you first, if I go down to Egypt for help, I don't know, really know the meaning of salvation. And if somebody goes down to Egypt for help, he doesn't really know the meaning of salvation. All right, on page 34, I want to close on a more positive note. Let's ask the Lord to guide now our short period together. Will you just pray quietly, and I'll pray it audibly. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We thank you, Lord, for the answer to our prayer, because we plead the infinite merit of the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Down at the bottom of page 44, we have our sixth woe, woe to the destroyer, summarized briefly and pointedly the central message of Isaiah 33, 1 to 24, in such a way that the burning message of the chapter will come alive in your soul. The whole message can be summarized in one word, and that word is deliverance. And I want to think of it under three headings. The first heading is the God of deliverance. I wonder if you've ever noticed these three great figures of God as the God of deliverance. Chapter 33, verse 22. 33:22 says, "The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." You see those three figures? Those three figures are drawn from three different parts of Old Testament history. The Lord is our judge. You think of the days of the judges. I just like to paraphrase it, the Lord is our Samson. Now I realize the type just has one central teaching, and the details have significance only in relation to that one central teaching. Somebody might say, Jesus Christ offers to be my Samson? Well, look at how sinful that old man was. Yeah, how sinful he was. But the type of the deliverer is the one central message. And the details have significance only in relation to that one central message. At any moment, you can look up and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Samson. You know how Samson picked up the gates of the city and took them to the mountain? I thought that mountain was just a little distance away. It was 20 miles away. He carried those gates 20 miles away. Oh, Jesus Christ offers to be my Samson, to pick up the gates of hell and carry them away. Folks, you're praying to young people. Boy, the gates of hell would love to enclose them, don't you forget it. Some of you have little babies now. The gates of hell would love to enclose them. But you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Samson. See, this figure of the Savior is drawn from the days of the judges. When the Lord is our lawgiver, that's Moses, our Moses. You think of all those wonderful miracles, the plagues, and then the crossing of the Jordan, of the Red Sea. Well, I just love that. Speak unto the children of Israel, let them go forward. Go forward, they'll get drowned. They'll get drowned. No, they won't get drowned. Do you see what a miracle of God that was? Because they had between 2 and 3 million Israelites. And they got 2 to 3 million Israelites over 6 miles. That's the Gulf of Suez, where they probably crossed over. But at least 6 miles. But I want to tell you, if you get 2 to 3 million people over in one night, you have to have a big, wide space. I used to think of it as kind of a little narrow place. and I'd have some child, you know, come and put his hand in the water over here, and well, I'm going to tell you, it must have been several miles. God dried up that whole thing. He's our Moses. You see, the figure which is gone, he's the God of deliverance, is my Moses. Think of the mighty miracles worked through Moses. And then, the Lord is our King, he will say. He's our David. David and Goliath. You know how big old Goliath was. You know what the name Goliath means? It means conspicuous. He's became long, tall, and handsome, you know, that kind of thing. He was nearly 10 feet tall. Wouldn't you like to have him on the basketball field? I heard once that this basketball coach who had a sign up his office door and said, if you can see over the transom, come on in without knocking. See? And you'd let him come in without knocking, wouldn't you? Little old David. But David was trusting Jesus. And David was a great type of Christ in our victory over Satan. Here are the three figures drawn from three parts of Old Testament history. The Lord is our judge. He delivers us as the judges delivered Israel. The Lord is our lawgiver. He delivers us as Moses delivered Israel. And he's our King. He delivers us as David delivered Israel. The second heading is the completeness of deliverance. The completeness of deliverance. Listen to chapter 33, verse 14. Who among us can dwell with everlasting burning? Through Isaiah, God shows us how to dwell with everlasting burning. Now, you know what that expression does not mean. That's not talking about hell. Hell is the place of everlasting fire, everlasting burning. And oh, may God grant that not anybody here in this meeting tonight will spend all eternity in that land of everlasting burning. But that isn't what this passage is talking about. Who among us can dwell in everlasting burning? This is talking about the blazing holiness of God. Who among us can dwell with everlasting burning? You know, you heard people talk about how to live on the moon. And now we're saying that a few years out in the future, somebody's going to be able to live on Mars. Boy, how long's it going to take them to get up there and come back again? Oh, that's tremendous. You know, when they start talking about living on the moon, I ask myself, now, how long will they be out of touch with? Out of touch, nothing. We saw pictures of the whole thing, you know. What's going on? And you've heard people talk about how to live on the moon. But have you ever heard anybody talk about how to live on the sun? No, and you won't hear anybody say that. But that's what Isaiah's talking about. That's what he's talking about here. It's God's will that I live on the sun in fellowship with Christ. And only the blood of Jesus can enable me to do that. And only the blood of Jesus can enable me to do that. See, what a figure this is for the completeness of God's deliverance, for the completeness of God's salvation. Our Lord, chapter 33, verse 6. 33, 6 says, and there shall be stability in thy time, abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. I've been claiming that verse for years. Easy to remember. 3, 3, 6. Two threes are six. And there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. You folks know how dear the Bible College movement is to me. What the Bible College is, but far more than that. The whole Bible College movement. I'm a product of it. And oh, I just thank the Lord. It was just coming along when I came along. And I didn't go to some secular college or university. I don't know what it happened to. But tell you about it, I had doubts about the Bible. And boy, I don't know what it happened if I'd gone somewhere else. It's dear to my heart. And many of you know, I believe the Bible College movement as a movement's in a backslidden condition. But boy, I just keep claiming this way. 33:6. And there shall be stability in thy times. not after I'm dead and gone, but in that time, this abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. That's completeness of deliverance. That's the second thing. First, the God of deliverance, those three great illustrations. Then the completeness of deliverance. And then the third thing is the condition of deliverance. The condition of deliverance is in chapter 33, verse 23. You know what it is? This is almost the middle verse in Isaiah. I've just counted it out. Of course, I don't have to count every verse, but I just figured it out by the number of verses in each chapter. There's 1,292 verses in Isaiah. And 33:21 is the 636th verse. 33:21 is the middle verse. And this other one here is 33:23. It's almost the middle verse. That's the way I remember. You know what it is? All together. The lame take the path. All right, sir. The lame take the path. You know what man believes? The strong take the path. The strong take the path. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says that the lame take the path. That's almost the middle verse of Isaiah. And it's the middle in more ways than one. It gives the middle message of the whole book. What were the Israelites saying in Isaiah? They said, those who go down to Egypt to help take the plague. You go down to Egypt to help you take the plague. That isn't what this book says. The book says the lame take the plague. Chapters 36 to 39, to which we'll come next time, are this historical interlude. And it gives two illustrations of the fact that the lame takes the path. One is a national illustration, and the other is an individual illustration. The national illustration is in chapter 37. The Assyrians came and camped around Jerusalem. And they all remember what it would have meant if the Assyrians had captured them. Because the Assyrians were the Nazis of the ancient world. They just brutalized everybody they captured. Men, women, children, everybody. They brutalized them. And I tell you, where the children of Judah ever lame when you had all these sins around them? And then you remember the 37th chapter closes with the truth that the angel of the Lord, I don't have time to prove it to you, but I believe that angel of the Lord was Christ himself. Not no mere angel. That's what people call a theophany, a Christophany. That's Christ, the second person of Godhead. In one night, he killed 185,000 Assyrians. Then the king went back home, and he'd been trusting in his idols and his God. And then where was he when his sons killed him? In the house of his God. See how helpless that God was? But the lame takes the plague. That's a national illustration of it. You know, you and I naturally don't want America to go right down to almost the bottom for God to undertake. But that's where God really undertakes. You know the old saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity. See, I just wish I didn't have to go into that extremity. Then you don't want God's opportunity. I don't want man's extremity. I don't really want God's opportunity. That's 37, national illustration. Then chapter 38 is an individual illustration. And the individual illustration is Hezekiah 6. He came right to the point of death. And then you remember he prayed. And for how many years was his life prolonged? 15 years, and then that shadow went back on the God. God did something in nature there. I don't think he worked a miracle on the God. He worked a miracle on the Son in relation to the God. It's a tremendous thing. God can turn the whole thing around. Somebody, you know, the scripture said, oh, the Son stood still according to Joshua. That threw everything out of gear. Yeah, where was it once for God? But God can do it. Individual illustration. There's another wonderful individual illustration of this. I'll give you a hint from the book of Genesis. The lame takes the prey. What's your great illustration of this from the book of Genesis? It's old Jacob. You remember Jacob was down in the far country for 20 years? And then he sent his band ahead, and the band came from Esau. And they weren't welcoming. That wasn't a welcoming committee. That was a lynching committee. After 20 years, he was still mad and he wanted to kill him. But you know, when he reached him, instead of killing him, he kissed him. Quite a difference between those two things. And what happened? The lame takes the prey. You remember Jacob wouldn't give in, his stubbornness, and then the Lord touched his thigh. His thigh was out of joint. Oh, believe me, that caused suffering. That's a very strategic part about it. My wife, for some years, bothered with a greasy shoulder. And one time I was away from the house for quite a long while, and she didn't know how to do it. The doctor told her later how to reset it. But she was trying to help a little bird. And I just said, now, Dad, I do help the bird, but please watch after yourself. And don't, because man's more valuable than the bird. And she fell over the fence, and that thing poured out, and they told her later, that you just lie flat on your stomach, and hang your arm over the bed, it'll be easy to slide it right down. I won't charge y'all anything extra for that. If anything like that happened, just say the one who taught me that is Dr. Shaw. He taught me how to do that. And she said, oh, it was painful. Painful. Well, I want to tell you, when his thigh was out of joint, that'd be even more painful. You see, here's where he was planning to go and meet Esau. Trying to go like this after 20 years. That is the way he went. He went right there. The guy was out of joint, and then the lines of pain were all over his face. The lame takes the place. The lame takes the place. And God just has to make you lame. And he has his own way of doing it. He knows how to make me lame in his way for me, and he knows how to make you lame in his way for you. But he does it in order that the lame takes the prey. The strong takes the prey. No, they don't. Those that go down to Egypt for help take the prey. No, the lame take the prey. I've received great encouragement from what Dr. Ironside said about the sufferings of the early Christians. He said when the early Christians were greatly persecuted, some of the early Christians were just sure that when the suffering came, they'd stand up for the Lord. But although they were sure they'd stand up for the Lord, they didn't. They denied it. But he said some other Christians who weren't trusting themselves weren't sure they could do it. You know, often you said, could I do it? Could I do it? This is what B.O. Moody said. Somebody said, Mr. Moody, do you have band aid? He said, no, I don't have it. He said, when I come to die, God will give me dying grace. What I want is living grace now. So I'm holding a meeting here in Milwaukee. And I want living grace. And he got the dying grace at the right time. He said that when he died, he just said, is this death? This is death. Earth is receding. Heaven is approaching. God is called. He slipped away and fled you too long. See, the lame takes the prey. You know, I was talking to one of my Methodist relatives one time. He's preaching, awful fine fellow. Real evangelist. He died some years ago. And I said, you believe that a person might be saved and lose his salvation, don't you? He said, yes. I said, have you ever lost yours? He said, no. Do you ever expect you to lose yours? No. I said, why not? And here's what he said. Because I love the Lord too much to turn away from How about that? Now, I want to tell you folks, I'm not trusting my love for Jesus, I'm trusting his love for me. The Lamb takes the place. This wonderful verse just has a special application from the buddy loving me. It'll be good to have her back tonight in the car. She's hadn't been here sometime. She's been able to come, but the weather hadn't been right, and then those who bring her have had operations for us, so she's been here sometime. But this has special application to us as we look to God for the completion of his will in our lives. As good many of you know, she's been immobile in her arms and legs since July of 1985. Well, you see how this flies there. The lame takes the prayer. Somebody says, well, you just can't expect anything much to happen there. You can't. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Christ who was here before she became immobile in her arms and legs is here now. The lame takes the prayer. And then this old boy here ain't very, very much ain't what she used to be, you know. Just no doubt about that. And, you know, one reason I know I'm getting older is that I haven't driven since my operation. I had my operation over 2 years ago. I haven't driven since. I get the chauffeur Joe back there to chauffeur me, you know, and I like that because it's so much easier to criticize others who drive than to drive yourself. But before that, if anybody said, let me drive you. Thanks, but no thanks. But since then, I've lost my nerve. See? Well, really, maybe that's just the Lord's last story, maybe a little bit longer. So I won't kill myself and other people. We're talking a lot about these antiques who are still driving the car, you know, and they're dangerous out on the road. See, I'm an antique, but I'm not antiquated. And that's the difference. I checked it in the dictionary. Antique means grown old. Antiquated, oh, what's the word? Worn out, it's worse now. Why ain't antiquated? Now, but look, folks, the lame takes the place. The lame takes the place. Why? Because the Lord is my judge, my Samson. The Lord is my king, my David, and the Lord is my Moses. All three of those illustrations are used for his living time. Let's have our first.